The reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 22. That's page 232. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We're reading from verse 1 to 25 and then verse 44 to the end. David's song of praise. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my saviour. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies, bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight." And now verse 44. "You have delivered me from the attacks of my people. You have preserved me as the head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me, and foreigners come cringing to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my saviour. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever.
Well, Felicity, thanks for reading. Nice short passage for us this week. And it begins, verse 1, David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and the hand of Saul. Our passage today is one of the great stories of rescue and deliverance. And we love stories of rescue, don't we? I mean, Hollywood is rammed full of them. I don't know if you've ever noticed, all rescue stories have one thing in common. Whether it's Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side, or whether it's Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan, all rescue stories have at their center a great hero. The main character to whom our hearts are always drawn. I don't know about you, but so often, long after you've forgotten the details of the film, you can still remember the hero at the center. And I guess that's my prayer this afternoon, that with a long passage before us, we don't get bogged down in the details, great though they are, but instead our hearts and minds would be captivated by the hero at the center, the Lord God, and that like David, our lips might praise his name. So before we dive in, why don't I pray for that? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the words before us. And Lord, we ask that by your Spirit, you would give us a clear sight of your Son, the Lord Jesus, this week. Amen. Well, David begins the song with an outburst of praise. I don't know if you noticed it, but he's like a machine gun, just spitting out the words. Have a look down at verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my saviour. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my stronghold, my refuge and saviour. The words just tumble out one after another as David praises God for what he's done. And the rest of the song is basically David telling us why he's so overflowing in praise. It's a story, really, in three acts. I guess this whole song is really a highlights reel of David's life in three parts. So first, we see God deliver David from death. Then we see him deliver David from sin. And finally, we see God deliver David to reign over the nations. But before he gets to those acts of deliverance, David paints us a picture of the danger he faced. We're down in verses 5 and 6. This is what he says. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled about me. The snares of death confronted me. Do you see the danger David's in? Waves of death, torrents of destruction threatening to overwhelm. Cords of the grave, the snares of death seek to take him captive. And you can hear the despair in his voice, can't you? Overwhelmed and confronted, David was a man who knew what it was to face death and danger. A man who had stood alone before Goliath and the Philistine army. A man who'd been hunted alive, first by King Saul, and then by his own son, Absalom. David had faced much danger. Now, I doubt many of us will face a similar level of danger. I don't think many of us will be hunted through the mountains by our children. But perhaps there have been times in your life when you've experienced something similar, when the cords of the grave have begun to coil around you or a loved one, and you've been helpless to intervene. We know a little of what David has experienced. And faced with such grave danger, David does what any one of us would do. He cries out. And notice who he cries out to in verse 7. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. And in his moment of distress, David cries out to the Lord, his rock, his fortress, and his deliverer. And then we see how the Lord responds. And as I said before, it is an incredible story that we've got before us. So it begins, Act 1. God delivers, God's power delivers God's king from danger. We've seen the danger that David faced, but now verses 8 to 16 paint an awesome picture of the Lord's rescue. I was reading a commentary when I was prepping, and it must be written by a British guy because his understatement was like nothing else. He summarizes the next couple of verses blandly as the Lord hears and the Lord acts. But I don't think that even begins to do justice to what we're about to hear. So have a listen as I read to you what this guy summarizes the Lord hears and acts. Verse 7. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came out from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies. Bolts of lightning routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundations of the earth laid bare. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostrils. The Lord hears and acts. You see, don't you, how David describes God's deliverance. We've got the earth trembling and quaking, the foundations of heaven shaking, smoke rising from God's nostrils, lightning blazing forth, the valleys of the sea are exposed, the foundations of the earth laid bare. This is an incredible display of God's power. Because the Lord God is not a cold, distant, indifferent God. No, he's a God who is rightly angry with those who seek to kill his king and take his place. And so he acts powerfully to deliver David from danger. But I guess as you're sitting there, there might be a little question in the back of your mind. Maybe you're a little unsettled by the power on display here. You know, if God is so powerful, is he a terrifying, unapproachable being? Well, we've certainly seen God's power, haven't we? But David also sings of God's tenderness. Have a look down to verse 17, where he sings, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Well, when I was younger, we were on a family holiday up in Scotland. Pretty similar to today, hot, sunny. We'd been walking up on a ridge for most of the day, and I stopped to retie my shoelace. And so we were up on a ridge with a sheer drop each side. And as I went to stand up, the gravel I was stood on just slipped away from underneath me, and I started to slide towards the edge and towards the drop. Suddenly, at that moment, there was an almighty yank on my rucksack, because my dad, who was walking behind me, had seen the danger I was in, reached out, and pulled me back onto solid ground. There was great power in that arm to pick me up off my feet and drop me back. But there was also the father's tender love for a son. And I guess that is exactly the kind of combination of power and tenderness that David is describing here. The one who made the foundations of the earth shake, reached down and took hold of him, drawing him up out of deep waters. David, who felt the cords of the grave coiling around him, is verse 18, rescued from powerful enemies. Enemies who were too strong for David, but are no match for a God who can part the seas with a word. And you see that note of tenderness again, don't you, in verse 20, where David kind of closes out this section. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Well, what a God and what a rescue. You begin to see, don't you, why David is so overflowing in his praise for the Lord God. Well, we've seen God's power deliver David from death. But the passage continues, the story continues in 21 to 25. Let me read them. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. Well, what do you make of that? There was a bit of discussion about this little chunk at the picnic earlier. You know, we've got King David here, who committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband Uriah murdered, is claiming, verse 24, I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. When I first read this, I was just like, really? I'm trying to work that one out. But what at first sight looks like an outrageous claim is in fact just the next chapter in this incredible story of deliverance. Because we saw God deliver David from death, and here in these couple of verses, we see God deliver David from sin. Let me explain. So, do you remember what happened after David had Uriah killed? Nathan the prophet came to him and confronted him. And David responded by confessing his sin to the Lord. You can read the details in chapter 12 or in Psalm 51. But don't turn there now. I'll just read you a snippet. So David cries out to God, and this is what he says. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's what David cries out to the Lord saying. And you know, the incredible thing is that Nathan replies on God's behalf, saying, David, the Lord has taken away your sin. That is how powerful a God David had. He is a God who can take away sin, a God who can take an adulterer and a murderer and wash him clean. It's a mighty story of deliverance. Deliverance not only from physical enemies like Saul, but also from a spiritual enemy of sin. And it's a story of deliverance, so it doesn't just end there. We've still got another 30 or 40 verses to go, because there's a whole final act where we see God, having rescued David from sin and death, raising him up to reign over the nations. Have a look down at verse 44. Where David cries, sings out, you have delivered me from the attacks of my people. You've preserved me as the head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me, and foreigners come cringing to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. They all lose heart and come trembling from their strongholds. And again, verse 48, he is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me. God delivers David from death and sin to reign over the nations. It's an incredible rags to riches kind of a story. The shepherd boy who became king. You can read a bit more about how that all happened in the verses we've skipped over. love to dive into them, but time is against us. But it's there that David tells a story of his rise, a rise from the depths of despair that we saw at the beginning to the heights of kingship. And as he does, there's a drumbeat that echoes through every verse. And it is the truth that it is the Lord God working through David that establishes David on the throne. You see, at every opportunity, David points away from himself to the Lord God. He points to the Lord God who arms him for battle, who humbles his adversaries before him, and who ultimately raises his king up to rule over the nations. David wants us to be in no doubt. His rise to kingship was not of his doing. No, God's power establishes God's king to reign over the nations. As David says in 36, your help, O God, has made me great. God's power delivers God's king from death and sin to reign over the nations. It is an awesome story of deliverance. And when you've experienced a great rescue or a great deliverance, you can't help but praise the deliverer, can you? When you hear stories of that plane being landed in horrendous weather, everyone praises the pilot. They rightly praise her abilities in landing it. You know, when the surgeon successfully removes the cancer, you praise his skill. Because the glory belongs to the deliverer and not the delivered. And David's no different. Having experienced this mighty deliverance, he cannot contain his praise for the one who delivered him. Look down at verse 47, see what he says there. David sings out, "The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock and my Saviour." And again, in verse 50, he cries out, "Therefore, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name." David's experienced one of the greatest deliverances, and all he wants to do is cry out in praise to the Lord God. Which is certainly a mighty psalm of praise, isn't it? 2 Samuel 22. But I guess the question is, what are we to do with it? You know, David lived thousands of years ago. This is very much his story. What are we to do with it? And I guess, first off, I'd say, let's let David's song of praise point us to another king, great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus. He was one who could also sing this psalm, could also testify to the Lord's power to deliver. Because Jesus was a king who knew what it was to be hunted alive and to face death. He was handed over to the chief priests and the officials. He was nailed to the cross, nails that bound him fast as the cords of the grave took him captive. But before he breathed his last, he cried out to his Father in heaven, the same God whom David cried out to, Jesus cries out to, one who has the power to deliver from death and sin. And on the third day, God raised his son from the dead, declaring death had been defeated and the penalty for sin paid. And the story doesn't end there. Nate, after Jesus had appeared to the disciples and many others, God raised him up to reign over the nations. And that is what he continues to do this very day, to the praise of his Father in heaven. Well, we are not King David, and we're not King Jesus. But if you're a Christian here today, you too can sing this song of praise with David. Because through Jesus' death and resurrection, we too have experienced a great deliverance. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we too have been delivered from death and sin to reign with him for all eternity. No longer will the cords of the grave hold us captive. Yes, as we're only too aware, we will face death. But as Paul reminds the church in Thessalonica, the words we had earlier, Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Praise God. Death is not the end. We have a resurrection with Jesus to look forward to. And no longer do our sins cut us off from God. Do you remember Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount? This is what he said. I tell you, anyone who's angry with a brother or sister has committed murder in their heart. And I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Like David, we are gripped by sin and in need of a rescuer. But, as Peter reminds us, Christ died once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Jesus has paid the price. The punishment is taken. The guilt is gone. So praise God, our sins no longer cut us off from God. We can approach him and delight in him as he delights in us. And more than that, as Paul reminds the Ephesian church, God has reached down, he's drawn us out of the deep waters and raised us up with Christ to reign with him for all eternity. So praise God, though this world is passing away, we are seated with Christ on the throne that will last for all eternity. What a story of deliverance. What a God. And so hopefully we can say with David, praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, the rock, my saviour. But maybe you're here today and you'd not yet call yourself a Christian. Well, I guess the question I want to say is, do you know the reality of sin and death in your life? Do you see that we're all in need of a rescuer? And do you see the remedy here in this psalm? David's deliverance was not of his own doing. He was a mighty king, but in the face of sin and death, was helpless. Instead, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. So I guess the question that remains, if you're not a Christian here today, is will you cry out to the Lord God and share with us in this mighty song of deliverance? Let's pray. David sings, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield, the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my saviour. Therefore, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are indeed our rock, our fortress and our deliverer. We praise you, Lord, for the acts of deliverance we've seen here in David's life, in Jesus' life, and in our own lives. And Lord, we do pray that your praises would ever be on our lips. Amen.
Do grab your seats. And Sam, just a couple of things here. So, first of all, somebody says, thanks so much. Loved seeing God's power and tenderness in Act 1. What a God we have. I'm sure many of us would echo that remark. Somebody else says, thanks so much, Sam, for this big view of God. And then just one question. Verse 26 says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. And somebody writes, what hope is there for me? I find myself being unfaithful to God.
Yep. I guess in that way, don't we all feel that? We all kind of have that sense of standing up on a Sunday, singing these songs, hearing a sermon and thinking, yeah, that's what I believe. And then by Sunday evening, already feeling we've fallen short of God's standards. I guess that is probably an experience many of us share. I guess here we've got David, who is a guy who has mucked up on a very public and, you know, obvious way. And yet he can say, verse 24, I have been blameless before him and kept myself from sin. The Lord has dealt with his sin and has welcomed him back in. To go to 26, to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the blameless you show yourself blameless. I guess, just picking up on that word blameless, to the blameless you show yourself blameless. Well, think of like Ephesians 1, verse 4, that's a bit high, where Paul is able to say that the Christian is blameless in God's sight. Not because of what the Christian has done, but because the Christian has received from Jesus that perfect righteous life. So I guess the answer in a roundabout way to that question would be, we all know that experience of not being faithful to the Lord, but there is one who was faithful, and we are included in Christ, and therefore there is hope. That's why each week we come back and confess our sins, not to beat ourselves up, but rather to acknowledge that there is one who intercedes for us, who paid the price and made it possible for us to come back to the Lord.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you, Sam. That's really helpful.